Welcome to Life with the Girlfriend. With Christine Marie and Julie.
I'm Christine Marie. And you know what they call me?
What they call
here?
You?
They call me Mama.
That's right. And they call me Julie, the daughter. But they just usually call you Mama. And it's just assumed, I guess, I'm the daughter.
That's the royal title.
Yes. Or you're like Mama. Mama to all.
Mama.
Kiss my ring, darling. I'm Mama.
That's it. Go to your timeout, girlfriend.
Exactly. I think early on in my childhood, though, you did mention, you know, Julie, when I'm older, I want to have a big throne, you know, and I want people to come from miles around to say hi to me because I'm Mama. And I said, okay, someday that will happen. I don't know when.
The throne part's, you know, I think I have three of those in the house right now.
But I just want to say welcome, and it's going to be a great show tonight, and it's going to be so much fun because it's a beautiful day here, and we're interviewing a great author, Leonard Simcheck, and he is the writer of the book, The Roadmap Home, Your GPS to Inner Peace. And I can't really call him the writer. He's the author of,
yes,
the book, The Roadmap Home.
See, here's my feeling why you did that. Okay?
Yes, tell me why.
You just literally 10 minutes before you got here, you just came back from seeing Star Trek.
I did.
And I think your brain is still activated in that realm. And but I think that...
And I saw it in 3D. Oh.
Yeah, you saw it in 3D. Oh, there you go.
It was crazy.
And Leonard, who Simcheck, who he mentions in his book that, like Star Trek, everything ends at the where you're heading home.
And I know, and I love that because it's so true. And it's about this movie. It was great because they end up. I don't want to tell anything about it. I can't tell anything about it. But it's great to have a reference in the book about Star Trek, and then me having seen Star Trek. But let me bring in Leonard right now. Leonard, are you there?
I'm here.
Before you talk, let me just give you your props because you're a psychotherapist, you're an educator for over 35 years, both in Australia and America. You're the director of the Family Therapy Program at the Marriage and Family Center in Sydney, Australia.
I used to be the director. I'm a former director there.
Oh,
when
former.
I lived in Australia,
I'm
I was
so
the
sorry.
Director.
Great. And then, and you are the author of this amazing book, The Roadmap Home, Your GPS to Inner Peace.
Mm.
It's an Amazon bestseller.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I should give away what GPS means, but we'll get to that in the interview.
Mm-hmm. But you know what, though, Leonard, I just love your title. I just do. And I have to say that when I say it, when I read it, I just have this open heart feeling. I just feel access to inner peace. I don't know. There's just something very nice about your title. So thank you for naming it that, Leonard.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. That just came to me. You know, when we work on, as an author, I work on titles of books, and that just seemed to resonate with me, especially with people having access to their GPS. And I call my GPS in my car Alice, because I lived in Australia for 14 years, and the city in the center of Australia is called Alice Springs. So, and I have my GPS geared towards an Australian dialect. So whenever she speaks to me, she speaks in Australian.
No. I love that.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Okay, you know, that's just awesome. Now,
yeah.
I am going to mention a real quick before we go into your book, because your book's amazing, but I saw this show on Nova about 3 weeks ago on PBS about how kangaroos were just taking over everywhere in the capital and Sydney. Is it true? It looked like it was just this mass amount of kangaroos just living in the cities. Is that how it is in Australia?
No, you know, I think I lived there for 14 years, and that was always the illusion or the assumption. You go to Australia, you go into Sydney, there's kangaroos hopping everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to go into the country or those particular areas where there are kangaroos, but most people, when they are in the city of Sydney or Melbourne, they won't see a kangaroo unless they go to the zoo. So if you have to go into the bush areas or the country areas where you see a lot more kangaroos.
Okay, well, I guess I have to plan my trip better then.
Yeah. And there you have it, Joel.
Thank
now,
you.
Now you know.
Go. I've gone to some places that there are kangaroos come up to you. They just like come up and you can feed them if you want to. So, I mean, there are some places in the wild that kangaroos would just be coming up to you.
Wow. I mean, I would just have to hug one, and I know they'd probably punch me or something, but they're so darling looking. You just want to hug them and kiss them.
And then I'd hope to
just
have my camera
just don't put your hand
there.
In their pouch.
Yes.
Aww.
Exactly. Okay, so I do want to get back to your book right now, and I don't know if we want to, I know you'll eventually tell us what the GPS stands for, but, you know, can you share the personal challenges that caused you to write the Roadmap Home, your guide, your GPS to inner peace? I almost gave it away there.
That's okay. I know you have
a big story to tell.
Well, you know, this whole book evolved when I was a young boy. My father left the family the first time when I was 6, and then he left the second time when I was 9 years old. And at that time, when my father left, my mother was a factory worker living on the south side of Chicago, and she was faced with the prospect of rearing 4 children, young children. And I remember in the summer of, it was 1957, she took us to an orphanage. And that was her backup plan. She said, just in case she couldn't manage us, she took us to an orphanage to see this is the place we're going to live if she can't care for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a bizarre way to spend summer. I think we went there twice. Mm-hmm. It was a place called Moose Heart. I believe it's still there today.
Yes, it is. It's still here.
Oh, it is, yeah. It was a very lovely place. It seemed like a very lovely place for an orphanage, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But I remember walking around there thinking, wow, I could lose my home. And where is home? And growing up as a kid, I always thought that home could be snatched in a flash.
Yeah.
And I think that planted the seed for this ultimate book, The Roadmap Home, because all of us really want to go back home. And the theme of home is in movies and books. We think of The Wizard of Oz with Dorothy, Star Trek. We're all trying to get back home, but home is really in the heart. Home is inside. It's our spirit. And we all have, and I talk about the GPS, which is the guiding power of spirit, which is always guiding us to come back home. That is our ultimate quest. Isn't that what they say in Star Trek II, the ultimate quest is to go back home?
Yes, it is. And it's interesting that I read a little about your background, your story, and I'm not giving anything away for our lovelies out there, but my mom, your childhood seems very similar, and just the volatileness around it.
And also, Leonard, you know, we were from the south side of Chicago, too. My Italian family was.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, I wonder, you know, I love how you talk, too, about this idea of creating your hero's journey and making that pain into your own story of transformation, of power. And I think that we don't hear a lot about the hero's journey, and I think we need to bring that back into play because people still have such pain to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so true. And I think this hero's journey is, many people wonder, why am I facing all these challenges? It could be a financial challenge, a health challenge, a relationship challenge. And then we say, why am I facing this challenge? And these challenges are really here to bring open parts of ourselves. It's help us to learn about ourselves in a deeper way. And also it does force us back home. My challenge in growing up as a young boy really put me onto a quest. And then my quest was to find home. And so everyone who has any type of struggles or challenges are really there to help open us up, open our hearts. It may be to teach us about forgiveness. It may be to teach us about finding empowerment, inner strength. But any challenge that we receive is to teach us qualities of life and to ultimately bring us back home where that inner peace really resides.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking about inner peace, you know, we all desire it, and I think sometimes it eludes us, or we don't really know what that means, to be at peace. What prevents us from finding it?
That's a great question. I get that asked all the time when I do my seminars. What prevents me from finding this inner peace? Really, I think one of the difficulties is we look outside of ourselves for inner peace. We look outside for that love relationship, for that career, for money. We're looking outside of ourselves and thinking that if I have enough money, if I have this perfect love partner, that then I'm going to have inner peace. Really, inner peace only comes when I'm able to move deep inside myself and connect with that sense of love, that self-love, that authentic love, that spiritual love that's really deep inside me. That is the place that will give me inner peace.
Yeah, and so what going on even deeper in that. So how do you tell people, like, if you're facing a real bad health issue or a relationship or financial challenges, that we know as coaches, we've had people come to us and going, how do I move beyond this? Or, and then, and where you first want to start is, how do you find peace when you feel your whole world is breaking around, you know, breaking up around you?
You know, I think that is one of the people want to know, okay, I'm having these challenges. Why am the first step is just to honor the challenges. Most of the time we want to push it away. And mm-hmm. usually if there's a challenge, there's a desire that's wanting to come into manifestation. There's an unmet need that's wanting to appear. And so when I'm having a challenge, it means that there's a part of me that's wanting to wake me up. In Australia, they have a Banksia nut, and the Banksia nut is like a large pine cone. And the only way that that nut is able to germinate is in a forest fire. No forest fire, it doesn't germinate. In many ways, sometimes these struggles are like forest fires in our life so that it can crack us open, open up these seeds of new potential so that we can germinate a new way of being in the world. So I think these struggles are always there to break us open. The key is to just be conscious of that, to be more conscious of the struggle and to honor it. So if someone is coming to me and they're feeling depressed, you know, the temptation to say, I shouldn't feel depressed. And I'm saying, well, maybe depression is teaching you a lesson. Let's just stop and let's honor depression. Mm-hmm. Let it be what it's telling you.
Yeah, let it blossom. See what it has to say to you. It's got a message, I'm sure.
Absolutely, there is a message there. If I can stop, and often I'm beating myself up if I'm feeling depressed or down. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't feel this way. I should we have these embedded, difficult beliefs, critical beliefs like I'm not good enough. That's usually one of mine that I keep on going back to. I'm not good enough.
Yeah. Right.
And
well,
if I was good enough,
with your, you know, your upbringing, I'm sure that you'll have that's a challenge for you. That, but yet it brings you to this, you know, having this great heart, this great soul and spirit for, you know, helping others. That's the gift for you, Leonard.
That was a gift. That's true. I feel I can really understand people who have gone through really incredible pain and difficulty. I've been there.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing we can hear through your book and through your voice right now is that you have been there, and you know when people are going through, and so that therefore when you say there is a gift there or it's a wake-up call to your desire, I think that's what you said.
I love that.
A covered-up desire that needs to be manifested. That is so important and poignant because, yes, in those myths when you're just like screaming to God, why? That time will pass, you know, a minute or two, and the more you do this release work, that time it gets shorter and shorter. You know, it might start off in a day where you're that grief. Mm-hmm. But then you go, wait a minute, there is something here. There is the message. Mama always says, let the pain push you until the vision pulls you.
Yes.
And
that's beautiful. That's wonderful.
And so I love that, and it's gotten me out of a lot of jams. And I also like this idea that, you know, if you are really seeing obstacles, in some sense you've taken your eyes off, for you would say home, or you've taken your eyes off God, or you've, you
mm-hmm,
know, taken
yes.
your eyes off where you're going, you know, when all you see is the obstacle. Because they seem to dissolve if you're staying on track. They're just part of the, like you call it, the hero's journey, you know.
And the hero's journey is really, you know, and as Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage, and we're just merely our players on the stage. And mm-hmm. once I realize that I'm just a player here, that there will be many challenges, and each one of these challenges has given me the experience where I can either gain wisdom, knowledge, or deepen my connection with spirit, with God.
Mm-hmm. Tell me
can
about,
I tell a story?
Yeah, I want to hear. Great. That'd be awesome.
You know, I remember about 5 years ago, I moved from Chicago to California, and at that time, I've been using the law of attraction principles and manifestation principles, as many people have on this pathway, the spiritual pathway. And I put my condo up for sale, And I thought, well, I'm just going to use all these spiritual principles because I know how to manifest and whatever and make it happen real quickly. Well, it was in the time of the really depressed housing market. And so I put my condo on, and it just wasn't selling. I said, this is strange. You know, it just wasn't selling. And it really baffled me. But, you know, I kept on believing and believing, and it took a long time. And then eventually, it was in 2008, someone put an offer on my condo, and I thought, great. I started giving things away, selling things, getting ready for my move to California. And then it was, I think it was 1 week or 2 weeks before I was supposed to move, the condo fell out of escrow. So the buyer pulled out.
Mm.
I thought, oh, my God. Now, mind you, I had a bit of a temper tantrum with Spirit. I said, come on now, what's going on with this here?
Right.
And but deep down, I knew that there's a better perspective, that everything does unfold perfectly if I can just be still.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was about two more months later, then 2 more months, two people put a bid on my condo in the same day, and they bid up the price, which means I made more money. And then when I came to California, I found a much better place to live, which is only 10 blocks away from the ocean.
Oh.
And so it all kind of unfolded. So when we do have struggles, we may not really see the grand picture of what's down the road, but there's a better picture.
Yeah. Like you're saying, it's like in the fullness of time. You have to have that perspective. But I wanted to ask you, and the story sort of is good to hear, because for me too, like, you know, I've been on this, you know, amazing journey, spiritual journey, many, you know, decades of, you know, psychotherapist and all this. But I still have my inner child, you know, that is just there ready to throw a tantrum, you know.
Yes, yes. Oh, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
And I think that I've just become a little bit more patient with that inner child who wants it now, that, you know, wants the candy now. I said, okay, just try to be a bit more patient and loving to that part of myself.
I always say I've got to put my big girl panties on, you know. I don't know if that's something that Leonard wants to use or not. But you're free to, Leonard, to use that saying of Bob's.
You can quote me, Leonard.
All right, I'm going to quote you on that.
Well, Leonard, I do want you to talk to us, you know, what exactly is this internal GPS? And why do we need one, and do we all have one?
Well, we all have an internal GPS, again, the guiding power of spirit. And I think of it this way, and I always ask the question, why don't people use their inner guidance system? And the inner guidance system works very differently. It could be an intuition. It could be a feeling. Mine tends to work both internal and external. So I might see signposts out there that resonate with me, that tell me, or I'll feel it inside of me, or I may get a message internally, a voice. So all of us have these different messages that are coming in. Often we don't pay attention to them because of our ego, because of the messages that we were taught as kids. Oh, don't pay attention to that, or try to please other people, or I should do this. Rather than really listening to those internal messages, and I always believe the messages that from our GPS are calm, are consistent, are loving, non-judgmental, and very open. But the ego messages, the critical voice messages, tend to be more judgmental, fear-based, and really putting us into emotional distress.
Mm-hmm.
And really, when you think of the GPS, it's no different than the GPS in a car or on our smartphone. You just plug in, where do I want to go? And my GPS or Alice will guide me easily and effortlessly. And sometimes if I don't pay attention to my GPS, Alice would just say, recalculating.
Recalculating.
All right, you didn't pay attention, but we're going to recalculate. And says, okay, this is the other route that you can take.
Yeah. That's awesome. You know, Julie and I have this acronym for the word trust, T-R-U-S-T, and it's to rely unto spirit totally. And so when I'm sort of, you know, lost my way, I'm sort of trained now to go, okay, I can trust. I can you know, let go of the ego's hold and rely unto spirit totally, and just settle in into that peace that comes with that, you know. And again, it does take training.
It's practice, because when we pay attention to the voice. So when I hear my voice or this message from my GPS, I say, I hear you. So I just say internally, I hear you, and that's giving a message to say, okay, I hear you, that you're giving me this message. And then that message, the internal GPS guidance system, will start getting stronger, and we'll be able to hear it. Sometimes it comes across as a whisper, but don't forget, in our mind is chattering all the time. Don't do this, do this, or whatever. What happens if I do this? So that we've got our ego's mind chattering away, but the inner mind, spirit, is really very gentle and quiet, and initially starts off as a whisper, and it can become more magnified as I practice, just like, as you mentioned, the practice of stillness.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're launching our book on Tuesday, and we've been having these Butterfly Effect Festival days. And 3 or 4 weeks ago, when I was, you know, trying to get this all together and all this stuff, I was kind of looking for shortcuts. I was like, how can I, you know, do this? And literally I felt my GPS, my powerful spirit, it felt like an angel, honestly. And it said, Christine, you're going to just have to go through this. There are no shortcuts. I just want you to go through this. I'll be here with you, but there's no shortcuts. And I went, okay. And I just surrendered at that moment that it was. I didn't say it wasn't going to go smoothly. Mm-hmm. I just thought, okay, I'm going to have to do the full work, you know. But I had peace during these last weeks because I received that message openly and wholeheartedly. Okay, there just won't be any shortcuts. You'll get through it. It'll be fine. But you know, there's no shorthand here. You know.
No, and you know the beautiful thing. Christine, is that you're paying attention. You're conscious. You're paying attention to the messages that are coming to you. And when you realize this, you say, wow, there's a real calmness and peace.
Yes.
So that really happens. And this happened, you know, just in this interview right now, I got a message because I was debating, when should I go see Star Trek or not tonight? And then when you mentioned it, I thought, of course I'm going to go see Star Trek tonight.
Of course you
know?
Are. Yes. That is awesome. I got chills. See?
Yes.
I love
it. I did too. Because when you said that, I said, okay, because I was debating, but then as soon as you mentioned it, just said, yes, okay, fantastic. I'm going to go see Star Trek tonight.
Yes. That is so awesome. See, this, I love it when it happens. I love it when it happens.
You know, you also talk about, too, of like getting wake-up calls. And, you know, can you give me an example of what you would consider like listening and hearing like what Christine heard, this idea there are no shortcuts to, what is a real wake-up call?
Boy, I've received so many wake-up calls in my life. Mm-hmm. One of the big wake-up calls was I was planning on moving to California for some time, but I just, you know, just put it off. And then in 2004, I got a call in the middle of the night. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I got a call from my daughter who was traveling in Thailand, and she was involved in a motorcycle accident. It's kind of like the worst thing that a parent would like to hear. Just horrific. It just really disturbed me, upset. Anyway, so I organized to fly to Thailand to help my daughter, and then my daughter's mother came a little bit later so that we can just help her. But that was a huge wake-up both for my daughter and myself.
Mm-hmm.
And what it did to me, it made me look at my life. It says, Leonard, what are you doing with your life? Are you really living the life that you really want to live?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I really want to live in California. I'm really being called. And it really cleared it away. All of a sudden, it just became so clear. This is what I meant to do.
Mm.
And even with my daughter, it was a wake-up call for her, and she eventually became a nurse.
Oh, really?
And so it was just, by the way, my daughter's coming to visit me in a couple of weeks from Australia, so I'm very tickled about that. But again, both of us had our own wake-up calls that, although they can be really horrific, and I work with people who've been diagnosed with cancer or partners have died or left, but then as they work through this process, their lives just open up and they create something really transformational and beautiful.
You know, I have to tell you, last year, right about this time, I got bit by a brown recluse spider, and they're just
really
bad. Yeah, and I was really sick for a long time, and to the point where I didn't, you know, I just thought, well, I may not make it here. But once I started recovering, and it was during the process of writing our, you know, our book, and I look at what I had written before, and then gotten sick and come through, and I had a whole new palette. You know, I looked at the world differently. I looked at the world, like you said, you know, hey, wait a minute. I don't, you know, if I want to move to California, I want to move to California, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt the same way. There were, I wanted to write a book that left a legacy, you know, that I had myself in it. You know, it was just like I declared at that moment I wanted to be absolutely transparent. You know, this is who I am. I'm working on my own journey, you know, deeply spiritual, but you know, a flawed human being, you know.
I love that. You know, it kind of, I really love to hear your honesty, your openness, because I believe in our journey, we're called to really be more authentic and open, not just about how things are going fantastic for us, but
right.
When I have difficulties or problems, I really try to share with people where I'm at moment by moment. And what you just shared with me just touched my heart that you were so open in your sharing.
Thank you. And I appreciate that because it does come from, you know, there's a gravitas, there's a maturity that happens when you come, you know, like with your daughter's accident, what happens with our challenges. And you know, you want to use that. I always say, if I can help one person, you know, I feel better. I feel happier that if I can tell my story, and it helps just one person.
Oh, that's great! And in writing a book and getting a book out there is a beautiful way of you sharing yourself. And I don't know for if it's happened for you, but in writing my books, I really do have to reveal more of who I am.
You bet.
I teach a class called Writing Naked.
You bet.
You're not really
writing
naked,
raw.
Writing raw and writing naked.
it is. It's really writing naked. It's really writing raw, really kind of stripping away our critical mind and just letting it kind of come out openly and sometimes raw.
Absolutely. Do you have a second or another book planned?
I have a number of projects coming up.
Yeah.
I've got my next book is a sequel to my first novel. My first novel was Cuckoo Forevermore, which is a satire on psychotherapy.
Yes.
I can go a lot about psychotherapy because I think psychotherapy teaches people that they're broken, and I don't believe that. I believe no one's really broken. We're all on this beautiful journey. Yes, we've got challenges, but it doesn't mean we're broken. It just means we may not be as connected with our inner spirit.
Right.
And in this new novel, Kookaburra's Last Laugh, which takes place in Australia, of course, also talks about home and about the characters in the story are all on this quest to find their way home and dealing with all kinds of challenges. So that's another, that'll be coming out
be awesome.
By the end of the year.
When we were little kids in school, we used to sing a song about, like, Kookaburra sits on the old gum tree.
Yes.
Something like that. Did you ever
hear
that?
Yes, that's it. That's it. Kookaburra sits on the old gum tree. He,
Mary, king of the bushes.
He,
Kookaburra. That's
Gave
not a monkey, that's
be.
Me.
But, Leonard, before I ask you the last question, I just want to say your website, Roadmap Home, is where you can buy the book. It's also on Amazon. You can buy it right there. And,
it's an awesome website,
awesome.
By the way, people.
And
do you like my website? Oh, thank you very much.
I do love it. It's very, I love it. It's bright. It's warm. I think it really gives you a sense of who you are, which is hard to do these days, to have a website that really reflects you.
And, you know, we all appreciate people who give us reviews on our books. And you have a person that gave you an amazing review who I adore her writing.
Oh, I know.
Edwin Gaines.
Okay, how do you
Edwin
know
Gaines,
we adore her.
I love Edwin Gaines, too. Yeah, she's just a sweetie. Very generous woman. I met her at a conference.
We just adore her. We have her
she's
book.
Just fabulous.
I can't even tell you how many times we reference her. And then here we're going down the testimonials. Edwin Gaines, oh, my gosh. We love what she did for forgiveness, the work on forgiveness.
Yes, she did. She's a real light.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But before we leave, I want to say, you know, can you name one thing you want our lovelies, our listeners, to take away from this interview?
Yeah, you know what I would like for your listeners to take away is to believe in yourself. Mm-hmm. Believe in your true self. And I think of a poem by E.E. Cummings, and it goes like this. To be nobody but yourself in a world which is doing its best night and day to make you somebody else means to fight the hardest battle which any human being can fight and never stop fighting. Mm-hmm. So I think we're on this quest to really go in, connect with spirit, and really be our true selves. This is our quest. This is our awakening time.
It is. We were born for this time, weren't we, Leonard?
This is exciting. It's been, you know what, my metaphor is like the rocket ships. You know, our generation now, we're the energy we're needing to break out of the Earth's atmosphere, meaning the old egoic way. It takes a lot of energy to break out. And then future generations will be like, well, they're in outer space. They don't need all this energy to break out of the orbit. But that's what it's requiring of all of us, to be really disciplined, committed individuals, spiritual beings, to break out of our old egoic past.
Mm. Thank you so much for your truth and your authenticity. I adore it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And if I can mention that if people do go to my website, roadmaphome.com, they can download some free chapters, and there's a free visualization if they wanted to download that as well and have access to my newsletter.
That's awesome, and I hope they. I know they will, and we'll put that on our description, Julie, so that they can
definitely
see that right away. Because it's and really, I think just your URL, Roadmap Home. I think you were very lucky to get it, because that's a pretty cool URL.
Yes, thank you. That was another thing. Originally, I have both the Roadmap Home, and then I was on a waiting list, and all of a sudden, Roadmap Home came available, and there it was.
Wow. Roadmap Home. Boom. Done. That's it, you know.
This is, as you know, as we walk the path with spirit, spirit starts opening doors for us.
Yeah, I know. And like you said, you have to be conscious enough to know that was an open door.
Yes. And to be conscious and to take, oftentimes it requires courage to step through the doorway.
You bet it does.
Yeah,
it'd be nice.
I'll tell you that sometimes. Do I have to really go through this doorway?
I mean, we always want to win just the lottery, don't we? That would make it easy, whatever that means. You have a quote in your book. I'm going to end with this because I love this quote. Be grateful for the home you have, knowing that at this moment, all you have is all you need. Sarah Van Bresnik, hope I say her name right.
Yes.
But, great quote, lovely quote, and a great way to end your interview. So thank you, Leonard, so much for being on Life with the Girlfriends today. It has just been a joy and a pleasure.
It's been my joy and pleasure, and I'm going to wish you much success with your book. I know it's going to be fantastic. You're going to touch people's hearts, minds, and souls.
Thank you.
And
thank you so
I wish
you heaps
of success.
If you want to, Tuesday is our kind of our launch day, and we're like on the top of every hour from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. having the people who have given bonuses, you know, talk for about 10 or 15 minutes about who they are. I would love to, if you have 10 or 15 minutes during the day on Tuesday, just to I'll email you and see if you can.
Sure,
do
that. Love to do that. Love to do that. And putting your book on my, I'm sending out a newsletter on that day too.
Oh,
with
good.
Featuring your book. I'll send you an email. We can do the details.
Sounds wonderful.
Thank you, Leonard.
Thank you, Leonard. Thank you so much.
Enjoy Star Trek. I'm glad to tell you anything. You're going to love it.
Thanks.
Enjoy.
Really appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Leonard.
Bye-bye.
What a wonderful interview.
It was so awesome.
Oh, with Leonard Simchak, and it was so funny, Mom, because you and I had talked about his last name, and like, oh, I'm so grateful that he gave it, you know, we know how to say his last name, but you said, oh, I'm so grateful he spelled that phonetically, too. And sure enough, I'm saying, I'm like, I'm trying to remember, is it phonetic, is it not phonetic? And then I look at my notes, and
Simchak,
exactly. What a great interview. Mm-hmm.
And don't you just get a sense of, you know, just the warmth, that center, that heart-centered, you know, openness, compassion that's been cultivated, you know, through the decades.
And I'd like to find out more about him because in a sense of this, energetically, he reminds me of you. And, you know, even, and I wonder where he went out, grew up and the things that you know. And so I always think of him through my days when I find someone and I go, wow, this person looks like he might be part of our tribe.
You know, exactly.
Like,
I know exactly what you mean.
We would know each other from our past life or present life or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of fun.
I know exactly what you're saying. I really do.
So, you know, for the rest of the half hour, we don't have another guest on, which because our other
Nobody
guest...
Nobody but you, girlfriend.
About me.
Nobody
well, we had
you.
A great guest coming on, and he's going to be coming on later, later in the month.
He's at the... Right now, he's at the, is he the Indie Music Awards?
Billboard's Indie Music
Awards.
Billboard Music Awards.
Yes.
And he said, I'm so sorry, but my radio station
It's either Life with the Girlfriends or the Billboard Music Awards.
And I'm sure all of our audience is like, is it on now? Should I go now? No, it's not until 7, so do not change the channel. Do not, you know, just listen to us, please. Just listen to us. The billboards will be on at 7 p.m. special time.
Right.
But we had mentioned during our interview that, you know, our book is coming out on Tuesday, The Clutterfly Effect, and that we have been celebrating with the Clutterfly Effect Festival Days.
Yes, and I told people that I cannot say festival without thinking testicles.
Yes.
and I have to explain myself just a little bit because in a town near us called Byron, there's this four-way stop and there's this old kind of roadhouse, and they always have the testicle festival, the turkey testicle festivals.
Yes.
and I cannot ever not think about the word festival without seeing testicles.
I know, and it's so funny because I first heard about it through a town a little bit further away, Huntley, and they had the first, or was it Marengo? One that had the first turkey testicle festival, and then a different one. And then now I'm wondering where the genesis of this was.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first one that said, you know, it always happens after Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they have a lot of testicles just.
I have no idea.
No, I think it's the reason why, because they have all these leftover testicles.
Mm.
No, they don't. They don't sell the testicles for turkeys. So, I'm guessing. And so,
so are they all turkeys that we have at Thanksgiving? Are they all male?
Then? No, I don't think so. I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. But the ones that are male have testicles. I'm guessing, but I don't know.
I don't either.
But I just think
you know
to
what
myself,
though,
but
we can Google it or Bing it.
Exactly. I would like to know that because here's someone, and I'm going to share another story with you in a little bit, but, you know, someone's just sitting around going, what am I going to do with all these turkey testicles? You know, turkey testicles.
I'll have a festival.
I'll have a festival. Brilliant.
A life
of
turkey testicles.
So, yeah. I go, you know what? Put a festival or the name of behind it, anything. You get it for the party. Come on.
Oh, you know what, Julie?
Yeah.
You are so right. All you got to do is put the word festival after anything.
And you've got yourself a party.
Yeah.
You just need a little bit of dip, some chips, some testicles.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your own. If you don't want to have them, bring your own.
And you have your own festival.
And you have your own festival. And so it's very curious. It's very curious.
We can have a good time anywhere, can't we?
Oh, we really can.
Yeah.
We
just got to put a word. We just got to put a festival after it. In the old days, like in the 80s, I had sort of a similar experience that that you if you put shaman under after anything.
You could charge three times as much.
That's right. You could charge 10 times as much.
Shaman Christine Marie. Oh, she's worth $1,000 a half an hour. She's a shaman.
Christine Marie, master's degree. You know, it's
shaman.
Like $100.
Yeah.
But no, shaman.
And then you go, you think the guy's saying shaman, but he's just from the East Coast and shaman. He goes, where's my shaman at? Oh, I'm your shaman. No, toilet paper, shaman. Ba-dum-bum. I thought that was kind of fine.
Ba-dum-bum.
So, anyway, I wanted to share a story with you about how I love having expanded ideas. I like thinking about expanded ideas. And when I'm kind of stuck at something, you always say, well, how can you go bigger, Julie? Mm-hmm. How can you go bigger? Because obviously you're stuck here.
You're stuck in your little
Let's
mind.
Let's go bigger. Mm-hmm. And this week, I met a guy, literally, who had a trillion-dollar business idea.
That's right.
And it was so much fun talking
yes.
to him about it. He was telling me, I'm not going to tell anybody about the idea.
No, don't tell the trillion-dollar idea.
No, and he had his business plan
mm-hmm.
totally laid out, and he was going on and on. He had his elevator pitch, and I'm like, I'm digging this because mm-hmm. I have been programming myself to have bigger and bigger ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So then I thought, law of attraction style, I meet a man who has a trillion-dollar idea,
mm-hmm.
and I thought this is so much fun. And at the end of it, after I got done hearing him and I was really, like, on his side. I'm like, well, what's your first step, dude? What's your first step? You know, and he goes, well, I need a SBA loan, or I need a backer or a financer. You okay,
mm-hmm.
girlfriend?
I'm okay. I'm going to get some water.
And so he's talking to me, and he goes, you know, at the end of our conversation, he's like, you know, thank you. Thank you so much for listening to my dream. And I'm like, you go, guy. I'm happy that
uh-huh.
we spent this 10 minutes together. And
yeah.
I felt elevated. He felt elevated. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you go to somebody else who may not...
Like, tunes you out within the first 10 seconds.
Yeah. See, to me, he's shooting for the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So are the stars. So the worst-case scenario, he lands on the moon. That's not a bad altitude to be at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he only makes a million out of his trillion-dollar idea, that's pretty impressive
mm-hmm.
also.
And I'm going to tell, you know, I'm going to be... who's the guy and the rest of the story. But
and the rest of the story is...
Who's that dude with the
Paul salute? Harvey.
Paul Harvey, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the story is that before, you know, Julie heard the story.
Yeah.
This is how I'm telling the story.
Yeah, okay,
now.
You tell it.
And then before you guys left, separated, you promised that if you won the Powerball last
yes,
night.
I did.
That you would finance him. That
I
you
did.
Would, and of course,
I didn't.
The rest of the story is that some little guy from Florida won $600 million gazillion dollars.
Yes.
And it was so much fun, though, because I remember last night, Norman and I were sitting in front of the little BP store, you know, and I thought, okay, I'm buying $10 of these Powerball tickets, you know. And then for about a half an hour, I just imagined what I would do if I woke up tomorrow with, you know, $600 million dollars.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I was thinking small at first. I said, well, the first thing I'm going to do is pay off my mortgage.
Yeah.
That was like
first
the first thing.
Because I don't want to have that bill hanging over
I
don't
want that bill hanging over And I was like, oh, sigh of relief. Now what do I want? And then I said, I don't want just a camper. I want a driving camper.
Mm.
Now that's living. moving
but
on up.
Now you also did this, though. You said you wanted an indoor pool, but not an indoor pool, an indoor-outdoor pool.
Indoor-outdoor pool.
Which
because,
is the sign of luxury.
Yes. Imagine me swimming inside
mm-hmm.
in the pool
yes.
and then come to the place where I just duck under the whatever, and I'm outside. I'm in the outside pool.
Yes.
So I couldn't probably be living in Chicago.
Well, you know, that's not true because I did see this pool, a pool very similar, and it was a Midwestern pool, they said. And they had this person was very particular. She liked her water very hot as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to be able to swim indoors, outdoors, all year round in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And so they used geothermal power.
Oh, sure, geothermal, sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To get the water to 52 degrees, mm-hmm. and then the furnace would kick in and heat the rest of it up.
Well, I'm probably quite sure that she's a millionaire.
Yes,
at least even if she's using geothermal.
I think they said yes. They said it was going to require $50,000 a year just to maintain it.
Oh,
so you know.
Wow. Okay.
But if you would have won $600 million, that would have been
oh, yeah.
easily doable.
I wouldn't even bend over for
no.
$50,000.
Exactly.
You know, I poop on that.
But it's so interesting because here we are. This is when you know you're gambling and it's fun, is when you look after it and you go, you know, that was the best $10 I ever spent.
Yes.
Because I enjoyed the half-hour fantasizing the hell out of it.
I did.
When I was at the Kentucky Derby, I wasn't there in Kentucky. I was at some other race course locally. And I spent $5 on the horse and
mm-hmm.
did not win. But he was in the lead for like 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost. But I'll tell you what.
Those 2 seconds.
It was the best $5 I had spent in like a week.
Yeah.
I never felt so excited in my life.
I know, you said you almost passed out.
I did almost pass out because he was in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, and I actually had to say, Julie, calm yourself down. Bring in all your energy fields. I said, you know, close them up. Close up your everything energy. Close it up. Because you're going to pass out right here. And I did. I looked away, and then I lost. But I wonder if I would have just held on to the energy. Would my horse have won?
You might have just with the power of your mind.
Exactly.
Your horse would have won.
Now, it wasn't the same kind of turnaround. My $5 wouldn't have won me $600 million on the horse, but it would have won me, I don't know, $25, $30. But it was still just that fun moment.
Mm.
And so,
and then you know, once you you know, spend 15, 20 minutes about, you know, all the things, you know, do you go to work that night? No, of course not. You know, you can't. You know, then you're like, I gotta put myself in one of those hazmat suits.
You
don't want to, you know, get any viruses or anything. I mean, all of a sudden, you know,
all of a sudden, what you thought would have been your expanded life becomes a very small life. You're like, I can't die. Oh, my God, I can't die now. I'm loaded. I'm rich. Well, how can I die?
You're in a small room in a hazmat suit. Well, that's not living.
That's not living.
No.
But your hazmat suit has diamonds all over it, and you feel like you're living. Well, it was funny because I guess I butt-called my brother yesterday. And then, which is very funny to me because I got a new iPhone. Not new. The phone company gave it to me for free because my phone died. And I'm like, oh, sure, I'll take it. You know, it's been very interesting having to upgrade my life.
Free is
free
is just another word for nothing left to lose.
Exactly.
Because it really increased our phone bill.
I know, because then I have to spend money to be on the internet. I'm like, well, don't give me the phone then.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. But I don't know how I dialed him. But let's say I did. And we were talking about the lottery, and I said, well, maybe buy tickets. That was what I wanted to tell you. And he goes, okay, I already did. And I go, yeah, because if you win, I'm taken care of, and if I win, you're taken care of. And he goes, yeah. And truthfully, I'd rather have you win then, because then I won't have to deal with all the hassle of it. You can just take care of me.
Yeah, he's like one of those guys that, oh, my gosh, I don't want anybody to know.
Exactly.
I don't want to have the hassle of that. And
yes, and I understand, because in Illinois, you have to tell, which is not the rule anyplace else in the country, I don't
think. In Illinois, you do have to tell?
You have to say. You have to tell who you are.
Oh.
It's part of their campaign to say, look.
It's part of their transparency campaign.
If Julie can win, my God, then why can't you win?
Anybody can win.
Yeah, if Julie can win, then you can for sure win. Give me your $5. And it takes care of our schools.
Right.
You're not really gambling. You're tithing to the school system.
Mm-hmm.
You're donating
right.
to the school system.
Because Illinois is so good at that.
Yeah, right. Yes. Uh-huh.
Let's not go to politics, girlfriend.
Okay. Yes, because just real quick, I don't care. I shouldn't go there because I think literally more governors than not have gone to prison in Illinois.
Yeah, more than not, yes.
A local treasurer stole over, or comptroller stole over $52 million.
Out of our little town, yeah.
I know.
I think we've made number one somewhere because of that.
Yes.
our little town of Dixon.
Well, people kept saying, how is that possible that no one knew?
Yeah.
And you know why? Because we're a very giving town. We gave to Salvation Army. We give to United Way.
We give to our comptroller, who had about $54 million.
Who had horses up the yin-yang.
Yeah.
And beautiful, yeah. But if there was a need, which our comptroller took care of, like, hey, Mr. Police Officer, you can't have new, you know, stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'd probably have a bake stand for the police officer. We wouldn't know. They just go, we have a need. Well, we'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think our town was very giving in that respect.
You know, speaking of that, though, I can't. I hope I'm. Here's what I want to say. I want to talk about just being disappointed, though.
Okay, good.
Because I was disappointed a little bit this week, but I put my big girl panties on as I told Leonard. Thanks for the visual, I'm sure he's saying.
He's like, oh, thanks for letting me borrow that thing once in a while.
I should say I put my big girl thong on. That might be better.
Or my granny thong. That would be more hysterical. My big girl granny thong. I don't know why I had the
but
word
anyway,
granny.
But anyway, you know, and in our book that's coming out on Tuesday, The Clutterfly Effect, could I promote it anymore?
No.
But we went to one of our charities is St. Jude's Children's Hospital, which we've had that charity for many years. But we've also had another charity, local charity called Granny Rose mm-hmm. Animal Shelter. Mm-hmm. It's a no-kill animal shelter. And it's lovely. We probably, you know, donate at least once a week, you know, either, you know, clay cat litter or, you know, just some things. So I put that in the book that, you know, a portion of all the royalties will go there. And then I had this, I thought it was a brilliant idea.
It was.
That I would take 10 books, you know, and drop them off, and they could just put them on the counter there and just sell them for whatever and just keep the proceeds.
Yeah.
Just keep the proceeds.
It would be an additional way that we'll give them
money. Absolutely.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. I just thought that was a pretty genius idea on my part.
You were very happy with yourself.
I was. I was like,
so Julie, you go, Julie, please take the books, get, you know, dress professionally and go in there.
Mm-hmm.
Which I did.
Which you did.
And I talked to the manager.
And about 5 seconds later, you came out with all the books back in your hand.
Yes,
and I went, what the heck happened?
Yes. And I said, you didn't say what the heck, but you were
close.
Yeah. And I said, they said they would never sell a book. They just know that their audience would never buy a book. Mm-hmm. I'm like, really? Okay. Fine. And I thought to myself, you're
so crushed. I thought,
yes.
First of all, I thought it was a brilliant idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was so sweet. Just, you know, really, they could sell it for a quarter if they wanted to.
Right.
I just wanted them to have, you know, be able to keep the profits, all of it.
Yeah, and see, here's, I want to talk to Leonard about this a little bit, because your guidance system, your GPS, your guided power spirit, wait, your, I can't think of it now, but your
guiding powers of spirit,
yes, said, do this. This is a brilliant idea. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it fell flat.
Do you think it might have been my ego instead of my guiding
powers? No, see, here's what I want to say about that. Mm-hmm. I have to believe that when you get a big hit, just because it didn't turn out the way you thought,
mm-hmm.
it was still your guided spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, first off, what did you learn from that? Well, you learned that to go with the flow,
mm-hmm.
like and not attach to people's
mm-hmm.
outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe this woman has authors all the time dropping books off. I have no idea.
Really? Okay. Sorry.
I don't know.
Little local town. Yeah, but you're right. But I thought, as I was reflecting on it, that maybe I had more ego in it, because I was like, look at me, I had this good idea. It was such a good idea.
Yeah.
Look at me. Kind of.
Well,
kind
you
of,
know what, though?
Sort of.
Aren't you allowed to think that you have a good idea once in a while?
Yeah.
Like that guy, a trillion-dollar idea.
Right.
And that idea is keeping him going. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's giving his days a little more spunk, a little more spice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask you, Christine Marie, before we end the show,
mm-hmm.
I want to talk to everybody. You know, I want you to think about your trillion idea, and I want you to share it next week.
Mm.
I want to know your trillion dollar idea.
Mm. Well, I mean, you're my trillion-dollar idea.
You're
worth every penny of it.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. You're my trillion-dollar idea. Damn, I should have thought of it first. Man, mine doesn't count as much as yours. That's not right.
Too bad. I beat you to it.
Exactly.
But we're not in competition.
No, we're not. Really, we're not. Anyway, I want to invite everybody to our drip meditation tomorrow night.
When I decided that it would be called the drip meditation, I thought it was profound.
It was.
I thought it was a
great
brilliant
idea.
Name. But now when I say it, I have this feeling of kind of like a depends feeling.
Please don't say that.
Say that. Okay. Shut up. Then.
It's deeply relaxed intention
process
meditation.
Right.
Deeply relaxed.
Intention process
meditation. And the reason why we call it that is because we know that to be open to change, you must be relaxed. Because when you're relaxed, you're open to change. You can feel that when you're not. You're like, you're holding on tight. You're not. You don't want to change.
No.
But then when you're open to change, you're open to healing. When you're open to healing, you're open to transformation. And that's what we want. We want an expanded life.
Yeah.
So go to our website, theclutterflyeffect.com. Sign up right there. We'll get you all the details to come and join us.
Yes, that's tomorrow night.
Yeah. And then
at
Tuesday.
Oh, my gosh. Can I just do a little bit of a promo for Tuesday?
Yes, please.
Okay. It's the launch of our book,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay. First of all, we have like 30 amazing people that have given us awesome bonuses
mm-hmm.
that if you just buy the book on Tuesday, like Leonard gave us an awesome bonus.
Yes, he did.
We've got like Anne-Marie Best, who was trained under Doreen Virtue. She's giving a free angel card reading to people who buy the book. I mean, things like that. And Karen Drucker, who sings our Clutterfly Effect anthem, One Small Step, you got to go hear it. Go to ClutterflyEffect.com, click on bonuses and hear her song because it's awesome. She's giving that song as a bonus. There's like over $3,000 value. As Francine, one of our authors who is giving a bonus, says, it's Christmas in May.
Christmas in May.
It really is, you know. And so every hour on the hour, we're going to be talking to one of the people who have, you know, given bonuses, anywhere from Gary Spinell, Francine Colangelo, and Marie Best. We've got Julia Rogers-Hamrick, who's so cool. She's the author of Easy World.
Mm.
What's the saying, Julie?
I choose
to live in an easy world where
everything is easy. I choose to live in an easy world where everything is easy. Boom.
Boom. That's right. Yeah. So we're going to have an awesome time on Tuesday, and I hope that everybody, you'll get an email from us if you sign up at ClutterflyEffect.com, and so you'll know about all the stuff that's going on and buying the book. We're donating our audio,
the audio
of the Clutterfly Effect, and also the audio of, go ahead,
Wallace Waddell's book,
Science of
Getting Rich.
Written in 1910?
Yeah.
It was kind of funny.
Yes, it was.
But it's got some brilliant pearls of wisdom that
hit
past the funny words
and
the funny talk, and you'll have.
Literally, after like the second chapter, third chapter, we got rid of all the references to the time of, you know, talking about, hey, there's an amazing new economy or, you know, a new industry called aerial transportation. This might take off. It just might. And I'm reading it, and I'm laughing hysterically. And I thought to myself, it might be the number one downloaded book.
It is.
But
in the world.
I don't know how many people have read past page 5.
Because they're too busy going to the bathroom and peeing.
And laughing.
It's so funny.
It is so funny.
Yeah.
But I have read this book before, and then reading it out loud, I just got this huge download of a funness and oneness because of this idea that we go to that field of pure potentiality and we place our intentions there. But he talks about giving form to the formless.
Right, which we do all the time. We don't do it consciously.
Exactly.
And he calls for that. You know, did you start doing this consciously?
Exactly.
Loved it. So please keep joining us. We had Clutterfly Effect Festival days on Friday. We had some on Saturday. We had this morning. We had a big group of people that joined us. And tomorrow night, the trip meditation. And then Tuesday.
Yes. Tuesday, the launch of our book, The Clutterfly Effect. So just want to say, everyone, thank you for joining us today on our radio show. We love talking to Leonard Simchak, great social worker, counselor, coach, author of the book, The Roadmap Home.
Mm-hmm. And a great soul.
A very great soul.
Yes.
Great soul. And
Shall we sing ourselves out?
I think we should sing ourselves out. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and go to our website, theclutterflyeffect.com.
Yes.
Our Christine Marie
and hear the song One Small Step by Karen Drucker.
Exactly.
It is our song.
And go to our Twitter at Prosperity Duo. So here, let's sing our song. With you.
Everybody needs.
I think we're all a good girlfriend. Everyone have a great, great night. We'll talk to you later.
Everybody needs a good girlfriend. And we do have a good girlfriend in each other.
Yes. Have a great night. Bye-bye. Everybody needs.